good to be here today, and we're glad to see that you're here. Just praise God for this day, for the opportunity to be here. This morning we're going to talk on a subject that everybody pretty much knows, but sometimes we need to be reminded things. It doesn't hurt to remind us, for us to have remembrance and brought it back to memory. And we're going to talk about this morning that Christ is the Savior of the world. And you've heard that many times, no doubt, and everybody understands that the gospel teaches that Christ is Savior of the world. It says in John 4:14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. You know, that's a unique title. No man ever had it other than Jesus. It's a unique title, and expresses something quite far-reaching, far more than just the Messiah of the Jews, or someone to assume the throne of David as King of Israel, or to punish the wicked nations of this world. That title goes far beyond all of that, even though they might talk about him being, you know, on the throne of David forever and ever, but through an eternal throne, but yet he is the Savior of the world. He came to save the world. John 3:17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The reason he's the Savior of the world is because all the world is condemned. It's all been pronounced. Every soul that's ever lived is already condemned when he comes in this world. He's going to be condemned. You know, the only way he could escape that condemnation if he died before he reached the age of maturity. Little children don't wear that condemnation, but the world is already condemned. The first sin that's ever committed by any one of us ever condemned us. If we ever told a lie, if we ever taken something that wasn't ours, then we were condemned to sin. We ever thought evil thoughts about somebody that hurt them, we've all sinned. Scripture teaches quite plainly, all of sin comes short of the glory of God, and so the world, the whole world has been condemned. But Jesus came to save the whole world. And that's why he's called the Savior of the world. The Jews didn't recognize this, but the Gentile Samaritans did. When he came to them, that's what they said about him. You know who the Samaritans were? They were half Israelites and part Gentile. They were actually more Gentile than were Israelites, but they had a little bit of Israelite blood from way back there with the early 10 tribes. That's who the Samaritans were. And they had a mixed up religion. Their religion was part Jew and part pagan. But yet they were looking for a Savior. They were looking for the Messiah to come, the Savior of the world. Let's turn to John chapter 4. We want to read in John chapter 4 and verse 39. We'll start reading there. We want to read down to about verse 43. Verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all things that ever I did. This was the woman at the well. And many of them believed because of what she told them. And so when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. He stayed with them 2 days. Jesus would hardly go to the Samaritans because he was sent to Israel, the lost sheep of Israel. And so he spent 2 days there with them because of their urging. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. You know, that's the only time that term, that title is used for him in the Bible. It's those 3 times. He is the Savior of the world. What a wonderful title. What a wonderful thought that Jesus came to save the world. And many preachers and a lot of religious people today get confused about this matter. But we want to understand this morning what this means. For he indeed, and in truth and reality, is the Savior of the world. You know, they saw it and they realized it. That he come to save lost sinners in every nation. Not just Israel. Not just Samaria, but everywhere. As Jesus himself said in John 12:47, I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. That's why he came, to save the whole world, because you know, the world is already condemned. Every one of us, we're already condemned. Luke chapter 24, verse 46-47, and he said unto them, thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to raise from and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. When he died upon that cross, he was buried and resurrected, he became the atonement for sin of the whole world. Of everybody who ever lived, ever will live, he paid the price, the atonement for it. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2-4 says, and he is the propitiation or atonement, that's what that word means, propitiation, for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments, and he saith that I know him and keep it not his commandments of lying and truth not in him. But he paid the price, he is atonement for the sins of everybody. He took them all upon him. He became the preparation, as he says there, when he offered up his life as a sacrifice for sins. And then he died and rose again. Acts 20:28 says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock of which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. It's by the blood of Christ that the church is purchased, that it exists. It's by the blood of Christ and by his sacrifice that he paid the price for all our sins. I want you to turn to me to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. We won't begin reading verse number 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had it put into grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. Excuse me, not verse 10. That's where I want to stop. Verse 4. Surely he had borne our sorrows, our griefs. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. And we all were like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, if we weren't careful, we read this, we might think he's just talking about the Israelite nation, but he's talking about all of us. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked and the rich in his death, because he had done no violence. He was in his deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put into grief when he shall make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the flesh of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. But Jesus died for sin. Not just Israelites. Not just a few chosen ones. But for all. The whole world. 1 Corinthians 6:19, what, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So we are God's. He paid the price for us. That's the good news. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We want to read about the gospel. The word gospel literally means good news. We want to read about the good news here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll start reading verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received when you stand, but which also you saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, and unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how the Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and then that he rose again the third day according to Scripture, and then was seen of Cephas and the 12. And we see there's the gospel of death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. The gospel of Christ is that he died for our sins. Romans 5 and 8, but God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. No man deserved it. No man could earn it. He died for us. He died for our sins. Hebrews 5 and 9, he says, he being made perfect became the author of eternal salvation to all that obey him. And so we come to something a little bit different. Obey him. All we've read so far had talked about all that God did. Like John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved the world that he sent his Son to die on the cross to become the Savior of the world. And Christ is the Savior of the world. But the gospel is the power of salvation, the Bible says. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for the power of salvation of the Jew first and also to the Greek. It's the power of God. It's salvation for all of us. Well, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's good news. But we see we have to obey Christ. Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, I say unto you, he said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, in the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which art in heaven. And so we see there's some obedience involved. There's some doing the will of God, and we need to understand what that is. Because that's going to distinguish between what we're talking about, the saved and the church, and Christ being the Savior of the whole world. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We want to begin reading with verse number 6. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 6. He says, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recommend tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. And flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord from the glory of fire. You know, if you burn in the devil's hell, it's not going to be because you lied. It's not going to be because you have stolen. No. Because God Christ paid the price for all those sins. He went up on the cross and he purchased the sins of the whole world. You see, what's going to cause us to burn hell is going to be the fact that we did not obey the gospel. We did not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why people are going to burn eternally in hell, because Christ, he grew up on the cross and he is Savior of the whole world. And he bought the sins of all the world. He paid the price for every sin that's ever been committed and ever will be committed upon that cross. And you're going to burn in the devil's hell because you rejected the salvation of Jesus Christ. Because you did not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Romans 3:23 says, all of sin and come short of the glory of God, that's you and me and all of us. And then in Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. You see, through Christ, all souls shall live. Everybody. I personally believe that everybody will be resurrected. The good, the bad, the ugly, every soul shall be resurrected. They shall every soul rise, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But then they shall be separated, some into eternal hell, and some into eternal heaven. What's the deal that makes the separation? These obeyed his gospel, those did not. So why people are going to burn in hell is going to be something so simple. They refuse to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why. Because Jesus done bought everybody's sins. And I can understand how it would upset God that he sent his Son to die upon the cross, and how it would upset Jesus Christ that he came and suffered his soul upon the cross, and he lived and died just to take your sin, and you will not obey his gospel. That's why the vengeance of God rests upon people. That's why folks are going to burn in hell. Because Christ done paid the price for all our sins. Just because we didn't obey that gospel. You see, that's why he says it, that he's coming back taking vengeance on them that did not obey the gospel. But don't know God, don't know, didn't obey his gospel, you know. They don't understand the mercy of God, the gift of God, of what God's done. That's what he's talking about, not knowing God. But they haven't obeyed that gospel. There's the crutch. That's where the problem comes. And once we've obeyed the gospel, he tells us we're to be witnesses for him. Witnesses for him. He said, he told this 12, he said, going to all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth, and witness and testify of me and the salvation that's in me. In Acts 8 and 4, the Christians were scattered abroad. They went everywhere preaching the word of God. They all went out witnessing and testifying about Jesus, and we're all supposed to do that. That's part of God's calling to us as Christians. What about your life? Have you been witnessing for Christ? What about your life? Have you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Have you been obedient to Christ? His gospel and his calling to his assemblies that he's called. Mark 16:16, Jesus said, he that believeth in his body shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Now we're talking about obeying the gospel. Did you know that to obey the gospel is when you are baptized? You see, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Christ died for our sins according to Scripture. He was buried in the grave and was resurrected according to the Scriptures. And so therein is the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And how shall you obey that gospel? You obey it when you get baptized in Christ. Romans 6 and verse 3. Know you not that so many of us were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death? That's how we come to die. Jesus died upon that cross for our sins. And when we're baptized, we enter into that death. He said, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Therefore the newness of life comes in when you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, which shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. In Galatians 3:27, for many of us have been baptized into Christ and put on Christ. You see, in baptism we get into Christ and we put on Christ. And you know, that's how you obey the gospel, and you become one of those chosen, promised ones to enter the promised land. Therefore you escape the damnation of hell because you obeyed that gospel. That's how you escape it. The apostle Paul, who later became known as Paul, he believed in God, but he didn't think Jesus Christ was the Savior of the world. And he didn't like the fact that they were offering this thing to the Gentiles either. So he was going about taking these people that believed in Christ and throwing them into prison. And he saw the Lord on the road to Damascus, and he said, what must I do, Lord? The Lord didn't tell him he's saved. He didn't tell him what to do. He said to a man. He said to a man named Ananias. And Ananias, when he got there, he said, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Here is how you'll call on the name of the Lord. And without it, we're going to be punished. And we're not going to be punished because that we broke the Ten Commandment laws, because we're sinners. We're going to be punished because we rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. We didn't come in submission to that, to be baptized into Christ, to be covered by his atoning blood, that we could live with God in heaven. If you're here this morning, you're subject to the gospel call. Perhaps you've never been baptized in Christ, we'll give you that opportunity. Or if you're here this morning and you need to come taking advantage of the blood of Christ, and one of the things that God offers us as Christians, he says we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive for our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if you're here today and you need to cleanse the blood of Christ, this is an opportunity for you to let it be known. We stand clean. Thank you, God.